This podcast is brought to you by Windsor Management Insurance Brokers. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
But to get a wider perspective on Asian football as a whole, we have an Asian football expert and freelance writer, Martin Lowe, on the line, all the way from London, in fact. Martin, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us here on FNR.
Good morning, guys. A bit further away from London, I'm up in Liverpool, up north, so a bit more out of the reach of the centre, but it's good to speak to you guys.
Excellent. My apologies, of course, but you've been taking in this Asian Cup. What's been the standout team and the standout player for you thus far in the tournament?
I would probably say I'll go through a couple of teams, really, because the standout team is Iran, I think. Everybody expects them to come into this tournament. But they were heavy favourites. They've been the best team over the last 4 years. They've only lost once competitively in that time, and that was to Spain. So I think any team that comes up against them in this tournament are going to be right up it, really. But kind of to focus on a team that we weren't expecting, I think India, even though they lost last night, they definitely had... they've definitely seen an upturn in their form. They've been kind of up and down over the last couple of years, but Stephen Considine seems to be able to get the best out of them when the matters are needed, and he did that a number of times in qualification. And a couple of players from their kind of team, I think Anirudh Thapa, a 20-year-old centre midfielder, I think he's looking a million times better than anything we've seen from kind of India in the past. And we hope that a couple of their players kind of move either to Asia or even Europe. You never know, that there'll be quite a lot of scouts out in Dubai watching these players. So somebody from kind of India, Sunil Chetri's led the line well, and also Udanta Singh on the wing, looked very kind of creative on the wing. But in the initial kind of stages, it's been quite cagey in the Asian Cup. So I assume that we're going to see a couple of more stars kind of blossoming over the second round of games.
Well, just on India, I mean, we talk about sleeping giants of Asian football. I mean, even though they don't have a great football culture there, obviously cricket very, very much number one. 1.6 billion people or whatever it is, they've certainly got the population base to be able to build a successful football team, and this could be the start of it.
Well, it just needs some success behind it, and I think that it goes for any kind of team. Any success is only going to start once you've kind of got that over that first hurdle, I think. And the way you play it as well. I think a lot of teams can kind of battle their way through this group, and especially with the new expansion stage, that way you can qualify as a third placed qualifier. I think it doesn't prepare teams to actually go out and attack. But I think India in the first match winning 4-1 against Thailand last night, they went and kind of challenged the host. They could have just sat back and soaked up the pressure. So I think these sort of kind of games can really kind of swing a whole continent, really, to kind of get behind them. And you can only see it from Vietnam's point of view. And they've just won the Suzuki Cup a couple of months ago, the first time in a decade. And they had the scenes over there in Hanoi where kind of everybody was out partying. And this is just, it's the start of kind of a good five-year period where the public are behind the sport. And I think it just gives you that kind of engagement. And once you've got the engagement, you obviously get the buy-in from above, and you hope you get government funding. And it all kind of leads from there. And as you say, with that population behind them, even one or two kind of players coming through can really spur on a national team.
Well, let's shift the focus to Group B. Obviously, Australian in action tonight, but Palestine, we don't know too much about them. I don't think many of the Socceroos fans listening will have heard of any of their players, but they seem to have a pretty compact defence. Who should we look out for from the Palestine team tonight, and what are you expecting?
Well, from a defensive point of view, they've the squad's quite considerably changed from 4 years ago. 4 years ago, they did lose every match, but they were kind of comfortably second best on every occasion. I think there's been a ramped up improvement in the last 4 years. Many of these kind of reasons, and I think similar to Philippines are also playing today, is that many of their players are kind of from the diaspora that are playing in Europe. And it's kind of, you are effectively picking up players as the cycle goes on. one of the kind of experienced players that was there 4 years ago and had a brilliant game against Syria in the first match was the centre-back Abdellatif Badari. He's a bit of a cult hero, really, kind of in Asian football, just because he's like a big physical centre-half, like an old-fashioned one, and he's now 34. But he has a mistake in him. He's often rash, but the other day he was colossus against one of the best centre-forwards in Asia in Omar Al-Somer. So I think he's going to be quite difficult to kind of get past. And if he has a good third to 10 minutes, God help him, Socceroos, I think there'll be kind of a massive pressure to kind of get past him. In a more kind of an attacking area, when they do kind of break away, which I think I assume everyone knows that kind of Australia are going to take most of the possession in this game. There's a midfielder, Samer Marada, who's been one of the best players kind of in qualification for them, creative centre midfielder. And then on the wing, if he does start, or he might come on, a 20-year-old winger who did quite well in the under-23s championships early on in 2018, Odai Dabag. He's still playing in Palestine at the moment, but he's keen for a kind of a move away. And I think he's looked very kind of bright when he's come on. And if Australia haven't broke the deadlock, or at least if it's 1-0 kind of going into the second half, I think the bench will pose the Socceroos some questions.
And just on Syria, the team that Palestine held to a draw in that first game, 0-0, Omar Al-Somer drawing a blank, and again overnight against Jordan. They've sacked their coach, Bernd Stanger. Do you think this is a justified move, or are they too ambitious? Do they have delusions of grandeur over there in Syria?
A bit of both, I'd say. It's quite difficult because we've seen, I think, you don't see many kind of sackings midway through the tournament. And I think as again, for the expansion where a team can get through in third, you've always got that last chance to kind of sneak in as a kind of a lucky loser, effectively. And obviously, this has worked perfectly well for Thailand, who sacked Milovan Rajevac after one game. In theory, he should have been probably sacked after the Suzuki Cup. There was no public confidence in his style. For Syria, I think they're getting above the stations a little bit. They've obviously had a great run over the last 4 years to be where they are. But I think a lot of people tip them for quite highly to go quite far in this tournament, which they've only got a couple of players that you'd say are quite a high standard for Asian football. But quite a lot of the players are still kind of plying their trades in littler leagues and are struggling kind of day in, day out, really. So you've got to kind of match expectation with reality. That being said, the performances haven't been good enough the first two matches. They just haven't looked... there's no energy in the team. There's no invention from there. So you can see from that point of view, it's a last shot saloon against Australia. Whatever happens, if they get a win there, they're going to go through from the group. And if reports are right, there's conflicting reports about who's going to take over. But Ayman Hassan, who's coming in, who was manager for Syria against Australia last time, obviously in the World Cup qualifying playoffs, he didn't do too badly there. So he's obviously got the experience. And if you've got somebody like that that can come in straight away, then who knows? It could be a bit of a tentative situation at the end.
Well, the Socceroos certainly struggled with Syria in World Cup qualification, so I'm sure they'll, despite the turmoil, provide a stern test on match day three. But I wanted to touch on, before we let you go, Martin, the Emirates, the home nation, of course. A little bit underwhelming, I thought, in their first game, and perhaps a bit lucky against India to get the victory. In the absence of Omar Abdelrahman, their well-known Afro'd creative fulcrum, how do you rate this side? Because I think it might be a little bit of fool's gold, this win.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think anybody that kind of was following Emirati football for even the last 12 months would know that expectations should have been quite low. As you say, Omar Abdelrahman is a massive miss, and he's the best player in still playing in Asia. So I think anybody for even the UAE who haven't got necessarily the best of sides, if you're losing that sort of caliber of player who's the whole team's built around him for the last few years, so it's a big reshape. That being said, obviously the group itself, Group A, is pretty kind of ordinary. As I say, India are looking one of the best teams in it, and they necessarily weren't having the highest expectations going into it. But they can kind of follow Russia's example at the World Cup. You come in with low expectations, in bad form, the manager's under pressure. all you need is that win to kind of galvanize the support, and everyone can see the support that was there last night. It might have not been a sellout, so they might have given out the tickets for free in the end, but 43,000 people watching is going to kind of galvanise the country. And as we say, momentum is a big thing. And as being hosts, you've got a good draw going forward. It's something probably for Australian fans to kind of look out for, really, because now they're guaranteed not to come top of the group. They could be on the easiest side of the draw and kind of be looking at kind of playing UAE in the quarterfinals. So I think once those kind of games come up, I think UAE will be quite happy to get to the quarterfinal. But I agree with you totally that the team itself are a bit more ordinary than we'd expect them to be at least 4 years ago when they did so well when they played in Australia.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for joining us on Evenings on FNR, and we look forward to checking in with you later on in the tournament.
That's great, guys. Have a good evening.
You too.